It's time for Wisdom Watch, our conversation with leaders who've gone before us, those with experience and knowledge, not just smart, but wise. Today, we want to mark the 40th anniversary of the tragic death of Otis Redding, one of the most influential soul singers of the 1960s. His songs include such hits as Sittin' on the Dock of the Bay.
Sittin' in the morning sun, I'll be sittin' when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sittin' on the dock of the bay, watching the tide.
He was only 26 when he died in a plane crash 40 years ago today. His widow, Zelma, is here with us to talk about the music, the man, and his legacy. Mrs. Redding, welcome. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. And, you know, this is a very important day for me. It's always been important, but of course, you know, this marks the 40th anniversary of the death of my late husband.
And I wanted to say I am so sorry for your loss. Is this a hard time of year for you, even though it's so many years later?
Every December the 10th is really a hard time for me. I thought it would get better, but, I mean, you know, Christmas have never been the same since the loss of my husband, which was in 1967. Of course, then I had to bear along because I had small kids. My youngest son was just 4 the year that my husband passed. But, you know, you had to manage to make it through that time.
You were so young when he passed. I mean,
24
with 3 little babies to raise. That must have been very hard.
Very, very hard. And he was just only 26. And a lot of people thought Otis Redding was a lot older than 26 years old because he was a big guy. You know, he was like 6'1", and, you know, as he say, 210, he would go up, you know, in size. But he was a young man with a strong mind, knew what he wanted to do and how he was going to get there. And, I mean, he was just a phenomenal person.
How did you two meet?
We met at a teenage party at the Douglas Theater, which there was always being held on Saturday morning in Macon, Georgia. We just got into just a little disagreement. You know, he called me baby, and I like, I'm not your baby, and you don't even know me. And you know, it was just a verbal disagreement. And
so he was kind of fresh.
I have always been very defensive. So that's how we met. And saw him several times after that and said, that's that same boy. And we kind of fell in love.
What did you like about him?
Oh, you know, his eyes, and it wasn't about his talent. It was about him as a person. You know, if you really knew Otis Redding, you knew he was a genuine person. And, you know, it was just something about him himself that just made me just say, you know, this guy is just about to steal my heart away from me.
What did he like about you?
You know, I never knew. I think he saw that Zelma Atwood at that time was just a little bit of girl. Like, I'm just about 5'1", and I weighed about 100 pounds. You know, I think we kind of grew together, and it was, you know, I think he thought I was very cute.
Well, I'm sure you were and are. You know, you mentioned that it wasn't the talent really that you liked. You just liked him as a person. But if you say soul music, his is really the first name I think most people think of. Well, here's a song, and I bet a lot of people don't even know he wrote it. And that is, of course, the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. But now here is the song that Otis Redding wrote and recorded.
All I'm asking
then. No, I know he wasn't talking about you.
No, he was going to always get respect from me.
But it sounds different. It sounds different when a man sings it. Don't you think?
You know, if you would listen to the Monterey Pop, or either you see the film from the Monterey Pop, Live at the Monterey Pop, Otis Redding made the statement that he was going to try to do this song, that a little girl just took this song away from him. And I think Miss Franklin did a great job with that song, but yet and still, the roots are there, and Otis, you know, everything that Otis Redding sang or talked about in any of his music, that was always a story behind it.
When he sings it, it makes me think a little bit more about politics than more about the personal. And I wondered about that. I mean, here you guys, you know, growing up in Georgia in the 40s, a lot going on there. And I wondered, I doesn't necessarly have to be about a man-woman situation.
Well, you know, respect leaves you open to think about a lot of things, you know. But there is a story behind that song. You know, I know what it was about.
Oh, come on now. Don't tease us like that.
It's just that something was happening in one of his friends' life. And, you know, they talked about it. And the friend made the statement that basically that's what he wanted when he, you know, some respect when he come. Otis Redding would take any idea and make it something that would blow your mind.
I'm Michelle Martin. You're listening to Tell Me More on NPR News. If you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Zelma Redding. She is the widow of the late, great soul singer Otis Redding. Here's another song that, another one of his hits was I've Been Loving You Too Long. I want to play a little bit of that.
And you want to be free. My love is growing stronger as you become a habit to me. Ooh, I'm loving you too long. I don't want to stop now.
That's lovely.
Oh, that's a lovely song. And Jerry Butler and Otis Redding wrote that song together. And, you know, when I first heard that, I just couldn't believe my ears. And, you know, at that time being young and raising a family, and, you know, it just take time over the years to understand the message and everything that Otis Redding did.
Mm-hmm. You kept your husband's legacy alive through the Big O Youth Educational Dream Foundation.
Dream Foundation.
Yeah, talk to me about that.
We had our anniversary this year, September the 9th. We always celebrate his birthday. And we're trying to work with kids, in which Otis was a very strong believer, which I am very strong believer of, helping kids with their education and, you know, just helping them in life with music and the arts. And so we have did that. I have over the last 20 years, we had our own fund and we turned it into something a little bigger, into a foundation. So my daughter and my family and I, we're all working on that, and was working with our summer programs this for 08, and we're looking forward to helping the kids and music and the arts, and that was one of his dreams.
Well, what's your dream now, and how would you like him to be remembered?
My dream is to carry on his legacy, which I've done for the last 40 years, to appreciate all of his fans that love him. And that has been shown to me in 40 years. You know, we have young kids that love Otis Redding that was not even born when he was alive, to help our people to grow and be strong, and to let them know that if you want to do something with your life, you cannot let anybody say that you can't do it. I just think that's what I know that's what I want to do. And I'm 65 years old, and I'm just getting started.
Yeah, that's right. This is Dreams, performed by Otis Redding, written by Zelma Redding, his widow. We talked to her from her store Dreams in Macon, Georgia. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.